right, people, got to calm down on the new host of Jeopardy. Calm down. Was that, isn't that a Taylor Swift song? You need to calm down.
I'm with you on the calm down. I just don't like how they teed it up. If this is where it was going to end, I don't agree with the strategy.
Yeah, Mike Richards, executive producer of Jeopardy, is down the road in negotiations to become the next host. And the world is in an uproar over this. 877-710-ESPN. Hey, I want to do this story about LeBron James, who tweeted and then deleted last night. Now, here's one thing I don't understand. So if you're LeBron James, you know that there's going to be a screen capture of what you tweeted. So why actually, before we get to the content of the tweet, why would LeBron delete a tweet knowing that it's been captured by everybody around the world and everybody's going to know what he said?
So I have been in this situation before, Mace, where I tweeted something and I had no idea how people were going to take it.
Yep.
And it was taken in a way I was like, oh, didn't see that playing that way. Whoops. Right. And yeah. I was going to leave it up there because the cardinal rule of tweeting is do not delete it. It makes it worse. It doesn't go away.
Yeah, it does make it worse. Yeah.
However, so what I did is I responded to like a couple of people and I just clarified. I'm like, oh, hey, sorry, I didn't mean it like that. Whatever. But it didn't matter because people just kept retweeting my first tweet.
Correct.
And my friend finally said to me, you just need to delete it. And I was like, well, but then it's just going to make it worse. She goes, no, it's not. Because then if everybody wants to quote tweet you or respond to you, they're not going to go back and see that you responded.
They're not going to see the original tweet.
They're not
going
to see the original tweet. And they also don't care about your response. It's like the original tweet just lives on to be forever retweeted and commented on and quote tweeted or whatever it is. And so if you delete it, then it's just like, yes, people can take a screen grab and they probably will, but it's just harder. Okay. And I didn't believe my friend until she told me, and I was like, oh, you're right, yeah. And then I just put up a new something, and I said, like, hey, I've already answered this 3 times. I'm not going to keep posting the same response, so deleting the tweet. Right? Like, you just have to do that sometimes. And I don't think anything he said was wrong or bad or whatever it is.
Yeah.
I just don't think he wants to end up having that endlessly quote tweeted.
So if you missed the tweet, and by the way, he tweeted it, deleted it, tweeted, deleted.
Wait, he did it twice?
Yeah, he tweeted it, deleted it, tweeted it again.
He was probably trying to fit too much in, right? Like, you ever do that on Twitter where you're trying to fit all this stuff in? You can't quite get it there.
I feel like a lot of times when people delete tweets, they're just kind of admitting, like, I should never have tweeted this. Like, you're conceding, like, this was a bad tweet by deleting it. But to do it once, then delete it, then tweet it again, and then delete it, that's weird.
Let me take a break from this for a second. Jorge's got a guy named Michael on hold who's got interesting information. Let's go to Michael real quick. You're on 710. What's going on, man?
Hey, guys. Nice to talk to you.
So now Jorge says you've got credentials.
I do. I'm not going to share them, Mr. Mason, because I do not want my name out there, but I'm going to give you enough information that you'll know it's accurate.
Got it.
Okay, good. Let her rip.
Okay. So Harry Friedman was the longtime executive producer of Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune. And when he retired, they decided to go after the executive producer of Wheel of Fortune, of Price is Right and Let's Make a Deal, Mike Richards.
Okay.
And Mike Richards is a longtime television host, has hosted many different shows. And Mike, when Harry retired, was the person that Jeopardy and Wheel wanted. And Mike's deal was, I'll take the jobs, I will executive produce. But when Pat or Alec retire, I get the gig.
Hmm.
Oh, so it was, in other words, he became the executive producer based on the condition that when Alex retired, or in this case passed away, that he would get
that
the job.
That makes sense.
And we've all known that inside for quite some time.
So why
so
did
you've
they not
known
leak
all
that,
along it
right?
was going to be Mike Richards?
Yes. For several years, we've known it would be Mike.
So why go through the whole dog and pony show?
Did Bringing you watch?
All these hosts. Yeah, oh, yeah. I mean, oh, that's a good question. Yeah,
did you? We all watched.
Yeah,
and after
the auditions.
After the huge ratings that they had on Jeopardy primetime, they knew they did another stunt to introduce Mike, and this was it.
Are you surprised by the negative reaction from fans about Mike taking over the job?
Well, as Momo said wisely, they handled this very poorly because we put people like Aaron Rodgers and LeVar and Maya Bialik that people got attached to after Mike. And if they put Mike last, it might have helped the situation.
I agree.
But putting him first was a mistake.
Or even leak it at some point that the favorite is expected to be Mike Richards, right? It just leaking it in advance so people get comfortable with the idea. But you're going to have a tryout just to see how everybody is, and it's going to be an open competition. But like, I don't feel like anybody in the larger entertainment Twitter sphere had an idea that it maybe inside in the industry you did. But why did that not leak? Like, you put out the trial balloon early, not at the end here. You basically just set him up to look really bad, to just totally disappoint people.
You're right, though, Mike. Had they put him last, the optics would have been much better.
You're right.
Much better.
Would have helped a lot. Would have helped a lot. Momo, when we're at physical therapy together, I'll say hello.
Okay.
Awesome, man. Hey, thanks for the inside information, Mike.
My pleasure.
All right. So it was going to be Mike Richards all along.
Yes, that's just bad media strategy. Put him last. That's a great call. And also, like, this is how you handle things, okay? You find some journalist, somebody, it doesn't have to be entertainment journalist, could be Vanity Fair, could be New York Times, Washington Post, whatever, Vulture, Vox, whatever. Find somebody that you say, okay, I'm going to tee you up. You're going to write the narrative story of how this all went down, but you can't write it until it's all done. And you let them in on it, and then you have the whole process that's been all laid out and ready to go. Or you have two or three media people that you kind of whisper, you do a whisper campaign.
Right.
You do a whisper campaign saying, hey, you know, he's always been the successor, but we need to go through the process.
You're really good at this.
I do this for a living.
This is what you should do. You should be the person who decides the media strategy, how to launch a trial balloon, all that stuff.
No,
you really know.
You whisper it behind the scenes throughout the entire process so that everybody in the back of their head knows that this is all just something to do afterwards while we decide what we're going to do. We haven't decided anything yet. The initial plan was to have Mike do it, but we want to give, you know, we want to see
some
what the
other
new audience.
People crack at it. Yeah. That's interesting. Yeah, that's a different way to do it that might have not wound up blowing up the way this one has. I want to go back to the LeBron tweet. The one he tweeted, then deleted, then tweeted again, then deleted again. Here's the actual tweet. Keep talking about my squad, our personnel, ages, the way he plays, he stays injured, we're past our time in this league, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Do me one favor, please, and I mean please. Keep that same energy when it begins. That's all I ask. Hashtag thank you. So what LeBron is doing, at least to me, he's turning the Lakers, or trying to, into an underdog somehow in all of this, despite the fact that they are favored in Vegas to win the Western Conference.
Yeah, I actually think it's a really good sign for the Lakers, because the last time LeBron was taking this narrative tact is when he was doing the hashtag Wash King. Remember that?
Yeah, right.
And my favorite part about the hashtag Wash King is that no one actually called him that.
Yes.
That was his self-appointed hater nickname.
Yeah, and then people started using
it. Yeah, and I was like, wow, that was, Look, there's a couple of things that I enjoy about having a long-term coverage, of LeBron, of having, seen this all the way since Miami or Cleveland.
Yep.
He likes attention.
Yeah.
And he likes to have his say. And so, everybody's talking about him and the Lakers, and he would like them to know what he thinks. So he tweets it. Cool.
You know what I think is interesting here,
Momo,
is that the team, I don't know the numbers. It's one of the oldest teams in NBA history. Mm-hmm. It may or may not be the oldest. I'm not sure. They added Kendrick Nunn and Malik Monk, and that may have balanced it out a little bit, THT. So maybe they're not the oldest. But they do have a very much older roster with LeBron and Dwight and Carmelo and so on down the line. Marc Gasol. Do you think it's possible that they are too old, that this team is going to be fragile, that they are going to deal with more injuries, and is that a concern?
I think it is almost assured that they will deal with more injuries, et cetera. But it's almost like the law of numbers, okay? You got like 10 old guys, so five of them get hurt. That's a problem, but if eight of them get hurt, it's a real problem. So, you know, you just have to hope that it's more than five, problem, less than five, not a problem.
You know, somebody called in the other day and said it's the L-A-A-R-P. I mean, people are joking about retirement home and too old and broken down and, you know, band of, you know, I tend to think of it as like the Renegade, or what's that movie? The Expendables.
Yeah.
It's the Expendables. It's in a lot of cases, guys, and this is Carmelo's a good example, guys that were sort of disregarded for a while. It took Melo a long time to get a job with Portland and to reestablish himself.
Yeah.
You know, he is one of those guys. I mean, I think the Expendables had like Dolph Lundgren and Sly Stallone and Randy Couture and a bunch of guys that had been around forever and ever, and that was the bit. I feel like that's what the Lakers are doing here. But a lot of people do have concerns, and I'll open the phones on this. 877-710-ESPN. Are you concerned that this Lakers team has so much age on it? How big a concern? Because that's the one thing, the two complaints I've heard about the way the roster is constructed are that Westbrook doesn't fit, and it's going to create issues with spacing, and he doesn't play, needs the ball in his hands, and so does LeBron, all that stuff, and that they're too old. Those are the two complaints. How do you, and 877-710-ESPN, how do you react to those two complaints, Momo?
You know, there's the one version where it says it'll be like the Lakers when they had Gary Payton and Karl Malone. They still went to the finals.
They went to the finals. They would have won. Malone hadn't gotten hurt. Yeah. I think they would have won.
And if Shaq and Kobe were speaking to each other at that point.
Yeah, that's true, too.
Yeah, that whole thing. I think they would have won. That would have worked. There's another school of thought that says it's like that year in Cleveland when the Cavs had Derrick Rose and Isaiah Thomas and Dwayne Wade, and everyone was, oh, wow, look at all the guys they got. And then it, like a month into it, it was like, oh, this is not going to work at all. And all of them left. But they traded them, or they released them, or whatever. I mean, these are big personalities. These are people who have had big careers in their own right. So not everybody adjusts as well to role-playing.
Yeah.
And Carmelo, I think, is going to adjust pretty well because he's been doing that.
That's exactly what he did in Portland. He became a catch and shoot guy.
How does Russ function as? How does Russ function as the third option? I've never seen that before.
No, never saw that before. And to me, this is going to be a very careful, ongoing, season-long negotiation between LeBron and Westbrook. I'm not worried about the AD part of this because AD is a unicorn and he's doing his own thing. But LeBron and Westbrook both need to have the ball in their hands. And Westbrook is going to be initiating the offense a lot. And how does that work with LeBron on the floor?
Yeah, I mean, I actually like it a lot because I think LeBron, I think Russ really looks up to LeBron. I think he has a lot of respect for him. And I honestly don't think you can say that about any of his previous teammates. Like, not, and I don't mean that as a slight on Kevin Durant or James Harden or anything. But I think Russ is a lot like Kobe in the sense of like, if there's a last shot, I should be taking it because I'm the best option. Like, that's how Russ is wired. So I think LeBron is probably the first guy he's played with where he feels like, oh, maybe LeBron's the best option.
Yeah, I mean, I think what you've got is two options, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if everybody's on LeBron, maybe it's Westbrook. If everybody's on Westbrook, maybe it's LeBron. We know how those last second shots go. Final 10 seconds of a game and who gets the last shot. I think either one could be the guy, right?
Yeah.
Your colleague Brian Windhorst actually talked about the Lakers and the age on this roster. Hit that, Jorge.
You know, I'm not worried about the age of the roster. I mean, you know, some of these guys actually fit pretty well. And by the way, they signed three guys in their 20s. So, I mean, I know they're old, but they do have some young guys. I'm concerned about their defense, because the thing about it is, as much as we talk about Anthony Davis and LeBron, and obviously those guys are the drivers, but the Lakers have been a great defensive team. They were a great defensive team when they won the title. They were a great defensive team last year when they were a high seed before LeBron and AD got hurt. And they've basically flushed that roster. And most of the guys they've brought in are not known for their defense. Certainly Russell Westbrook is not. Certainly Carmelo Anthony is not. And so this is really going to be on, you know, AD and LeBron to defend their positions well, because they're going to have to play bigger with the way this team is designed. And it's on Frank Vogel. It's a lot of pressure to see if his defensive system can hold up with less talented defensive players.
And that is the question.
Yeah.
I mean, they did definitely get, in terms of personnel, worse on defense.
That's true. I don't think they would argue with that. Poor Frank doesn't have a lot of job security either. Right? He's in the third year of a three-year deal.
You really think he doesn't have a lot of security? Frank won a championship. You really think he doesn't have job security?
Well, you know, his contract's going to be up.
Yeah, but get out of here. You won a championship.
I agree with you.
Coach.
I agree with you. But usually,
what is he in the third year of what?
3 year deal.
A 4 year?
Right? Yeah, it's pretty.
Wait a minute. Is he entering a lame duck season?
I think that's right. We'll see if that gets done. I don't know. I mean, I would want some more years on my deal.
Well, what are you hearing? Is he going to get an extension?
I think so, but it hasn't happened, so we'll see.
He's a championship coach.
Yeah.
There aren't a lot of those guys in the league.
Yeah. Look. That's the thing. When you have LeBron on your team, like, the pressure to win every single year, year in and year out. And would you say this is Frank's hardest assignment?
Oh, no question.
Or was the first year?
You know, I think he had more defensive-minded players who bought in the first year. I think this year he doesn't necessarily have the defensive-minded players, and he's going to try to get that out of them. That's
right.
The way I view it.
Right.
That's the way I view it. Hey, we'll open the phones on this. I think it's fascinating. The Lakers and LeBron, obviously, is playing the chip on the shoulder, we're the underdogs thing, although he did delete the tweet. is this roster too old, as some people are saying? Are these guys capable defensively of duplicating what the Lakers have been doing the last couple of years with their defense? 877-710-ESPN. Also coming up next, I want to ask Momo about the Dennis Schroeder thing that's still hanging around. I want to ask you about that, Momo. Mason in Ireland, 710-ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey, what's going on? Had a great time last night at Dodger Stadium as the Dodgers and Max Scherzer shut down the dirty, evil, lying, cheating Houston Astros. It was a great night. Jorge was there. Laura Romo from the SLK was there. By the way, what's the show going to be called now that the L is gone from the SLK? You know what I think? I think Laura should be the L. I think
they
should keep the exact same name, SLK.
I like it. I like it.
Mason and this show, Mason Ireland and Jorge. It's the brand new show.
No.
Is
man.
That what the meeting's about tonight, Lens?
Yeah.
I don't know. I was thinking it was going to be more like Jorge Lindsay in Ireland, but maybe I'm wrong.
Oh, sad.
Hey, you can forget about me. I can forget about you.
I'm the senior producer. Senior producer.
Management.
Management.
Man.
I'm management.
All right, so the Lakers roster, and LeBron tweeted about this a little bit last night, and then deleted it, and then retweeted it, and then deleted it again.
I've totally done this before, too, by the way. You ever send a text where you have, like, so many autocorrects, and you keep sending the same word over and over?
Yes.
And it autocorrects each time. You're like, dang it, I'm sorry. That's, like, the fifth text in a row where it autocorrected, like, hello to, I don't know. I'm just making something up, but. Can't think of a good autocorrect.
That didn't go anywhere.
I know. I was. My brain wasn't functioning.
Doesn't always. You were out late last night.
I'm watching
you on Around the Horn right now. So
I know.
You were working early this morning. All right. So LeBron basically tweeted at the doubters, the people that think the team is too old, the team that is not necessarily well built, and he says, just remember this when we get to the finals. Do you think the team is too old? What do you think of this roster? And by the way, can they play defense? You heard that from Brian Windhorst. Let's go to Anthony in East LA. Anthony, you're on 710. What's up, man?
Hey, what's up, guys?
All's good.
Well, first of all, I don't know what Windhorst is talking about or what he really knows, but what I'm saying is I think this is going to work out. You know, the older guys, I don't think it's something to worry about. Older people are willing to make adjustments, willing to sacrifice.
Anthony, thanks for the call. Do you think older people are willing to make adjustments? See, my experience of older people yeah. is that they don't make adjustments and they don't sacrifice.
You mean like they're set in their ways?
Yeah, they're set in their ways. Like, you know, my mom and not stepdad Leo, they do what they do. They don't listen to any advice. They just do their thing and they want it a certain way. So I don't think that's necessarily true that the older you get, the more adjustable you get. But I will say in this case, you know, one of the driving forces, I think, for this team is a bunch of guys here who may be older, but they want to get a ring. Carmelo wants a ring.
Mm-hmm.
Dwight wants another ring.
So did Gary Payton and Karl Malone.
Did Trevor Ariza get a ring here?
Yeah, 2009.
Oh, 2009, that's right. Trevor Ariza wants one last ring. Marc Gasol wants another. Now, he was not here in 2020, right?
No.
But Mark got a ring in
Toronto 2019.
Right, right. Let's go to Tim in Cyprus. Tim, you're on 710. What's going on, man?
Hey, how's it going? Love the show.
Thanks, man.
I don't think the Lakers are too old because basically two of the greatest teams in history, the Dallas Mavericks teams, were upset the world, and the Chicago Bulls team, Jordan's last year, they were both a half a year older than this Laker team. They're like 32 years old. This Laker team averages 31.4. And Russell Westbrook is going to be a great addition. Because the Lakers are a half-court team. When you play half-court basketball, the reason why Lakers always lose game one in the series is because teams are zoning them because they know they're a half-court team and they have a size disadvantage. So that slows the tempo down. But just like Tyronn Lue used to say when he was coaching LeBron, let's play fast. Russell Westbrook gives them the ability to now play fast so teams won't be able to set up in the half-court set and slow LeBron and AD down. And you only need two shooters on the floor. No team has five shooters. So you at least have two shooters on the floor. And people forget that AD can also play stretch five, stretch four. But that takes away some of the pressure and the physicality and being in the paint all the time. So I believe this team is not too old, and Westbrook is going to work.
Tim, you should get your own show, man.
That was good. That was good.
That is great analysis. You should get your own show. I love it. Thanks for
Thank
the call,
you
man. Thanks for the call. Yeah, I mean, that is the, you know, it's playing fast is something they're going to be able to do. You know, Russell Westbrook, defensive rebound, gone to the races. That's something that they're going to be able to do that they didn't do as effectively last year.
Sorry, I've been reading this stupid thing on autocorrect. So I said,
What are you doing, Mo?
You guys just see it.
What are you doing?
Super unprofessional. I'm sorry. You know how you were saying that I was saying the autocorrect and I went blank? And I was like, oh, let me look up some of these funny autocorrects. And then I started reading the autocorrects. They're so funny.
Well, give us one. Give us one.
Man. All right. Okay. I don't even know if I can make it through. It's so funny.
I won't look at you.
Okay. Don't look at me. Okay. So how was the date last night? Did you score? Not quite. First date, we went to dinner, then walked her home. Then I killed her in the woods outside her house and left. And then the response is, killing her seems a bit harsh. Did she order the lobster and filet mignon at dinner or something? And the guy goes, kissed. Kissed, not killed.
Then I killed her in the woods.
That's great.
I'm sorry. Man. They're so fun. I was totally listening to the caller, and then I just started reading the autocorrect thing, and man.
Okay, so wait a minute. Was that you, or was that some example?
No, I sent it to you. I texted it to you. This is. Don't start reading it while you're on air. You won't be able to focus. It's too funny.
I can tell. She's holding it together, man.
I'm not really holding it together, as you can tell.
No, you're trying. Trying to hold it together.
All right, okay.
Yeah,
are you reading
okay,
them?
Here's another one. These are funny.
These are funny.
So somebody was having a birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dead. Oh, happy
dead
birthday,
husband.
Dead husband. Happy birthday to you.
I like this one. Babe, I don't feel like cooking tonight. Can you bring home some human beef? WTF. I'm in a meeting. Human beef? Are you high? Hunan beef. Hunan beef, the place that just opened on 7th Avenue.
Hey, how about this one? I'm a gangster. I'm a straight up G. Oh. The hamster life and life for me.
The hamster life for me. Oh. That's awesome.
I'm sorry. I just totally hijacked our segment.
I don't care. It was worth it.
It was really funny.
It was totally worth it. All right, we'll get to more of your calls coming up next, 877-710-ESPN at 2:45. Don't forget, my favorite part of the show, Lindsey Fulton at Lindsey Baseball on Instagram will perform Radio Tinder, and we love that. And then at 3 o'clock, we will dig back in to the Houston Astros, who last night lost to our Dodgers. A great performance for Max Scherzer. We'll circle back to that at 3 o'clock. Mason, Ireland, 710-ESPN. Oh, let me tell you about Jacob Arani. Oh, how could I forget? Let me tell you about Jacob Arani. This is a guy. This is a friend of mine. And I was talking to him. He and I text a lot. And he, last week, got an $800,000 settlement for one of his clients. And here's the thing. There are you hear commercials and stuff for other attorneys, and they're all just trying to catch Jacob, who is the king. He's been doing this for 24 years in Los Angeles. And, for example, if you need a doctor, he will get you a doctor's appointment within 24 hours after an injury. So you start getting better, and you document and bolster your case against the insurance company. So if you want maximum compensation, there is nobody you should turn to other than Jacob Imrani, 24 hours a day. 844-24-JACOB. That's 844-24-JACOB. 844-24-JACOB. Or remember,
accident or injury. Call Jacob Imrani.
Call Jacob.com. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN. Bob.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bom, bom. You know, I want to get Chris Morales, who's sort of a highly paid consultant here. You hear him at the beginning of every segment we do. Next hour, I want to get Chris on at maybe at 3:30 because I want a preview of what's going to happen at the dinner tonight with me.
Yeah, I want to know.
Chris and boss Amanda. We'll get an explanation from him because I think this may be gone. That's the sound of the axe. Gone.
That's not an axe sound.
Yeah, that's a...
Sure.
I guess that's more of a... Right?
That sounds like white noise, man.
All right, so we're talking about the Lakers. We're talking about autocorrect. We're talking about a bunch of stuff. Radio Tinder coming up for you in 15 minutes. Hey, let's go to Noah in West Covina. Noah, you're on 710 ESPN. What's up, man?
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Sure,
man. I'm with LeBron on his tweet, and I'm with Momo on why he deleted it. And as far as I'm concerned, when AD went down in the playoffs and they lost and they got out of the playoffs, that's when they were already targeting Westbrook. And they're ready to go. And if the haters, you know, there's a lot of Laker haters.
Oh, yeah.
And they don't want to see us win number 18, okay? And they're out in force right now because it's scary to see whether we're really going to be that good. But Westbrook is L.A. Lawndale, UCLA, he's going to do whatever it takes. And he's got people behind his back, not just on the court, but here in L.A. He's Oklahoma City, who does he have any family in Oklahoma City?
What was his connection to Oklahoma City? You're right.
Yeah, well, Houston, What does he care about Houston? He's making his money. He's just going to do what he's got to do. Nobody's going to – he's not going to be a legend in Houston. Washington? Oh, my God. Now he has a choice. And he comes down here, and he's with his friends, and time's running out. You know, father time.
Yep.
You're not stupid anymore. You're in L.A. now. Everybody's behind you. You know, literally, Lawndale is going nuts right now. That high school, they're going nuts. They're so happy. You know, I'd say the same thing with Paul George and Kawhi, but, you know, I don't hate on the Clippers, but, you know, it does look kind of bad.
Don't worry.
You
know what I mean? I'll hate on the Clippers for you. Noah, thanks very much for the phone call. Yeah, you know, that's the thing that figures into all this, is that there are people that just hate LeBron, and there are people that just hate the Lakers. And they're out there. And I've never understood how – now, I guess if you're in Cleveland and he had left to go to Miami, I can see why you would hate on LeBron. But who now really – who are the people that hate on LeBron? Who are they?
I mean, there's – well, they hate – anytime I even write about LeBron, if you say anything nice about LeBron, I hear from them. I think there's this sort of, you hear something, they don't like LeBron. They don't like anything that has to do with Clutch Sports. So anybody associated with his agency or him.
Do you really think the average NBA fan
yes.
knows about Clutch Sports?
Oh,
you
yeah.
think, wait a minute, our listeners know, but do you think like
well, average maybe NBA Twitter knows.
NBA fan?
Yeah, NBA Twitter knows.
Yeah.
That's
sure.
probably different than average NBA fan. NBA Twitter is pretty locked
like
in.
Like my there. Mom loves LeBron.
Yeah.
But she has no idea who Rich Paul is.
Yeah, well, she does now after he's dating LeBron. I mean, Adele.
After
yeah.
he's dating Adele, yeah, exactly. We're all going to know his name.
So I think...
Because it's going to be in a song.
It totally is. there are just people who don't like anybody great at what they do. There's Steph Curry haters out there. Do you like Steph Curry?
Love Steph Curry.
I know people who absolutely hate Steph Curry, can't even look at him.
Kind of like one of the most likable guys
Seriously.
There is.
He's one of the most likable people there are on the planet. He's really nice.
And by the way,
he's humble. He's great at what he does. He's a family man. He's got kids.
Never
They're cute.
Never should have made it. You know, yeah. went to Ryder. Nobody, right? Ryder.
Davidson.
I knew it was one of those. Went to Davidson. Nobody thought he could cut it in the NBA.
Yeah,
he's
but I think
small.
It's also that he's a son of
stuff.
Privilege because his dad's in the NBA. You know, there's something about that he was born into the NBA, sort of. I mean, all those videos of him. You know, following his dad around.
By the way, that is a huge advantage.
It is a huge advantage.
Yeah, I mean, you see that in baseball all the time. Ken Griffey Jr., all these, Bo Bichette and Vlad Guerrero Jr.
Yeah.
and all these guys that are second generation guys. They were basically hanging around ballparks
yeah.
as they were growing up, and it's an advantage because it's not a wide eyed surprise when you hit the major leagues or when you hit the NBA.
But I also would think it's a disadvantage because you don't have that same hunger and fight to access, right? So there's plenty of ball players or basketball, baseball, whatever, whose kids don't make it because they don't necessarily have that same drive that their parent did.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. All right, I want to shift a little bit because
okay.
I want to get to this. The Australian rugby and rowing teams left their quarters in the Olympic Village in an absolute mess.
Mm.
Cleaning crews were necessary to mop up vomit after the weekend partying after the athletes whose competitions were complete. And remember, the athletes' village, you were barred from drinking alcohol anywhere but in their own rooms. They drank and they drank and they drank until they threw up. Then when they flew back to Australia, they called it the vomit comet.
Ooh.
That's how drunk they were. Now, Momo, here's the question. What is the drunkest you have ever been?
The drunkest. I think there's two options for this answer. The most recent one. Do you want me to go with the most embarrassing one?
Yeah, go with the embarrassing one.
For my 40th birthday, went with a bunch of my girlfriends to go see Queen at the Forum.
Okay.
With Adam Lambert as
with
the frontman.
With Adam Lambert singing, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Like, it was like a challenge. It just, you know, you can't say no. If they make you drink, people buy you around. You just got to say yes. It's your 40th birthday. You got to prove something, right?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I haven't drank that much ever. And I just remember I got us into like a big Uber black car on the way home, like some Suburban. And I was spinning like the entire, like I was so messed up. Oh.
Like how much did you drink? What were you drinking?
Tequila all night.
Straight up?
Straight up.
Just shots?
Shots all night. Really good tequila, though. Really good. And it was just round after round after round of like Casamigos. And oh, God. I have no idea how many. I stopped counting. I think it was double digits.
Wow.
So,
I mean, it was.
What about you? Drunkest you've ever been, Jorge?
I would say, last summer at one of my buddy's house. It was just, you know, four of us. You know, it was heavy with pandemic and whatnot. And
there's probably some videos of me late after the concert dancing in the Forum Club. Dancing with myself, by myself. Yes, there was that.
Wait a minute. You were in the Forum Club after the concert.
Yeah,
because,
you know,
you
let the crowd thin out.
Sure. And you go to the fancy
And my section. Friends were dancing a little, too, but there was definitely times when it was just me. Because they play some songs afterwards, and they just kept making me drink, and then it was fun.
So, for me, the drunkest I ever was when I was at Bowling Green. And I, do I tell this story? Sure. Nah, I don't think. Should I tell it?
Yeah, you can tell a version of the story.
Once you say, okay, so we were drinking so much when I was in Bowling Green in college. We drank so much that we would go throw up so we could drink some more.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Oh, I think about it now. I'm like, how did we even survive college drinking like that? Beer bongs. And I remember doing 7 shots of Jack one night and being hungover for 2 days. All I did at college was drink. And by the way, kids, if you're going to college, don't drink this much. I'm setting a bad example. But I drank so much at Bowling Green and in my fraternity, which was Sigma Phi Epsilon. I was a proud Sig Ep, and damn, do we know how to party.
I believe you. And you know what? I've heard that story. Did you drink water in between?
No.
Oh, that's...
And I didn't, we weren't sophisticated. Like now, people get drunk and they drink Pedialyte.
Pickle juice.
Drunk.
I've heard pickle juice.
Pickle juice? Juan, when he drinks, uses Pedialyte. You drink a whole thing of Pedialyte afterwards, and it clears you out. But we didn't know drink a lot of water after you're drunk. Lindsay, what about you? Drunkest you've ever been?
See, my problem is back when I used to drink, I would black out, so I don't remember.
Oh, you're kidding me.
Every time, that's one of the reasons why I don't drink, is because I would black out. It's like a genetic thing, I guess. Like my sister does too, my dad does, my uncle. But I would probably say the first time that I ever drank, and I was in high school, and I remember drinking Rolling Rock on New Year's Eve at my friend's party, and that was the first time I ever drank alcohol, and it was, woo.
When I went
Rolling Rock? That's a beer.
Yeah, it's beer.
Yeah, it is.
You can get
drink a lot of Rolling
Rock.
When I went to
I've never drank before.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's true. When I went to my Uncle Greg and Aunt Karen's wedding, and by the way, I think Aunt Karen may wear a wig. I've never figured it out.
You're
but
supposed
I think
to say that out loud.
I think it's a wig. She doesn't listen. She's living in Altoona, Pennsylvania. But I was probably 18, and I was not supposed to be drinking, but nobody was paying attention, so I drank.
Mm-hmm.
And I got caught when we were doing the chicken dance, and I fell down doing the chicken dance. And that point, my mom and dad were like, "What are you doing?" And they figured out I was drinking, and I was banished from the rest of the wedding. But the old accident during the chicken dance gave me away. But I'll tell you, in the day I could drink. I don't drink any. Like, Jorge, last night you had a Michelada.
I did.
Laura had a margarita.
Uh-huh.
And I had a Diet Coke. Because I don't drink anymore. I'm such a lightweight with alcohol. I'm great with other stuff. I'm fantastic. I celebrated the win when I got home. But lightweight for alcohol and hardcore with the weed. I am really good on cannabis. How are you on cannabis?
I was good until I wasn't.
That's the story. All right, coming up next for you, Lindsay has got Radio Tinder coming up for us. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. You don't follow Lindsay on Instagram, I have no respect for you. @LindsayBaseball on Instagram. Linz, what do you got going on today?
Well, what's going on today is SpaceX, who's launching its first all-civilian crew into space later this fall to take a multi-day trip circling the Earth. They're going to allow all of humanity to follow along thanks to an exclusive documentary deal Netflix sealed with Elon Musk's private space company. Hmm. The 5-episode miniseries named Countdown, Inspiration 4, Mission to Space, will be the closest Netflix has come yet to covering an event in near real time. Over the course of September, cameras are going to follow the civilian astronauts as they prepare for the journey and eventually launch into space. Does this sound like something that you guys want to watch? Swipe left or swipe right?
I'm going to swipe right. I am interested. I am interested in space travel, and not just the billionaire kind. You know, we've got the guys mm-hmm. that go in space for like, you know, I'm for 3 minutes, I'm weightless. I like real space exploration. And so I'm a fan. I am of the belief that someday we will have colonies on other planets, whether that be on the moon, on Mars. I think we're going to have colonies there, and we may need it because we're kind of screwing up the one we're on. So, yeah, I'm interested in space travel. I probably will watch.
I just think you want to make a bit out of it.
A bit out of what?
Going to space. You want
to
do that, right?
I would love to go to space. Can you imagine?
Yeah, you'd be broadcasting live from outer space.
Can you imagine what it would do for my Instagram?
Oh, my gosh, you go live.
Will this machine work from space?
It should. I mean, it goes pings off the satellites.
Definitely not.
I'm sure they have Wi-Fi in the shuttle.
I'm sure they do.
Come on.
Around all those satellites?
I mean,
he's supposed to be building a Wi-Fi network for SpaceX. I guess a lot of people have already signed up for it. I don't really know why. What the deal is with that, but yeah, they're building like a whole Wi-Fi network up.
I'm sure you will have Wi-Fi.
Yeah, I'm interested in this. I think the travel to space is something that we need to explore because I'm with you, Mace. Like, the global warming thing is real. That's real. We are going to need some other places to grow things and go, and probably not in our lifetime, or maybe hopefully or not our kids' lifetime, but maybe their kids' lifetimes.
Yeah.
You know, maybe not Daniel. Daniel's probably just going to be really hot all the time. Right, by the time, yeah, it's gonna be really hot.
It's gonna be really hot.
Yeah, it's gonna be really hot. I mean, like, you think it's hot now, 102 today or whatever it is. It's gonna be really hot in about 50 years.
Oh man, there's a high of 120.
Hang on a second. Let's go to Bill Belichick for the latest in weather. Do you have that, Jorge?
He does not. Jorge just stepped out for just a moment.
Okay.
Just a moment. But I can do it. If it's hot, it's hot. If it's not, I don't know. It's hot.
It's raining. It's raining.
Yeah.
It's wet. It's wet. If it's hot, it's hot.
It's pretty good.
It is what it is. All right, Linz, do you want to go to space, or do you want to watch the show about going to space?
Yeah, I mean, I watch literally every documentary that comes out. Yeah, at least I try to.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd be watching this regardless, but I feel like it's going to be super fascinating that this is kind of going to be unfolding as it happens,
mm-hmm.
and they're going to show, like, I mean, what if something crazy happens and they end up not being able to go to space, or what if somebody is not fit for, you know, they didn't go in the simulation machine, they had a bad experience and they decided they're not going to space, and then it changes everything. I feel like this will be one of the most fascinating documentary / reality things that we're gonna watch.
Coach Dave Miller, who I did Lakers pregame mm-hmm. with, love Coach Dave. He just texted me and said, "You've been in outer space since the day I met you."
It's true. He's right.
True.
Very right.
True. All right, what's next, Linz?
All right, after a rocky start, Team USA's men's basketball team will compete for gold on Friday against France. Team USA is going to face its toughest challenge in France, which is made up of NBA players Rudy Gobert, Evan Fournier, and Nicolas Batum. If they win, it will be the fourth consecutive Olympic Games that Team USA men's team wins gold in. The gold medal game is Friday night at 7:30 p.m. Pacific time. Are you watching this game?
7:30 a.m. Pacific
time? No, p.m.
PM.
No, p.m. Prime
time. Oh, yeah, I'm definitely watching. 7:30 p.m., that works right into my schedule. I'm watching. I'll be flipping back and forth between Dodgers Angels and USA versus France.
Yeah,
that's
right.
A great time.
Yeah, it's a good timing. What time is that in Tokyo? I'm trying to think. It sounds like
it's
mid-afternoon.
It's like Saturday morning at 10:30 a.m. or something.
It's pretty early.
Like that.
Yeah,
that
sounds
or
right.
Or no, maybe 12. I don't know. I looked at like 5 different sites to confirm the time because I'm
but
so 7:30
p.m. is perfect for
yeah,
us. Is
yeah.
it going to be on regular NBC or is it going to be on that friggin' Peacock?
You know, that's a great question. I'm going to have to find out.
I'm very frustrated with all that. The Peacock thing.
It's so
awful.
Annoying.
It's
we were actually
I don't understand what's happening. Like, I was watching the semifinal, and it went to halftime of the USA basketball game, and then all of a sudden I came back after halftime, and it was like diving, and I go, where's the game? Where'd it go? Oh, it's on Peacock. What's Peacock? What is this?
Yeah, I'm not paying for another streaming service. I am done.
You're too late. Late to the party.
I'm not paying for Paramount Plus, and I'm not paying for Peacock.
It's enough already.
Those are the two that I'm not in on at all.
You know, Momo, Mace and I had this whole conversation about how people are watching the Olympics and things like that, if we want to get into it after Radio Tinder.
Yeah, we'll
But
do
I
that.
Feel like, one of the more interesting aspects of it is, like, the lack of availability of, like, any highlights whatsoever online and on social. It's crazy.
And I don't know when to look for it. It's like the other night I was watching, and it was Simone Biles going on the beam, and I go, wasn't this like 2 days ago? I mean, they're playing it tonight.
It was the day before, and they're playing it tonight. Yeah. Exactly.
It was at 4:30 in the morning earlier that day in Eastern time, and I stayed up and or I woke up early. I set an alarm because I'm in
like
Ohio,
okay. So one of the races I really want to watch is Allyson Felix going for the gold or going for a medal. She's in the 400 meter final. This is her fifth Olympics. I've known her since she was in high school. So this is like personal for me to watch this. And also she's a mom now. So we went through our pregnancies together, yada, yada. Okay. And she is running at 5:30 in the morning Friday. Like here, where do I watch? If I turn on NBC at 5:30, is it going to be on?
Probably.
Is that live? Like, how do I watch?
You're probably going to have to like fish around for it. Like,
If I wake, if I set my alarm for 5:27, which is exactly when I will set it, 5:27 a.m.
How do you even find out where to watch it?
I don't know. I want to watch it. I'm going to get up and watch it live.
Yeah, it's
what
either on Peacock or USA Network or one of the hell
CNBC,
other channels.
I mean,
CNBC.
I'll help you figure it out, Momo, because I went through the same thing trying to find Simone Biles because I wanted to watch that live. I didn't want it to be spoiled. And I figured it out, but it did take some digging.
Yeah.
I go to ESPN.com now, and when I go there every day, I just don't look at Olympics results. I look at what's up, which it tends to be NBA or MLB or something like that. And then I don't scroll down because I don't want the Olympics events to be spoiled so I can watch them in primetime on Channel 4. Because that's the only place I'm watching the Olympics is on Channel 4.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not skipping around to these other channels.
I know.
So I assume USA men's basketball. And you know what's funny, Momo? Everybody was all panicked when Team USA lost that first game and lost those tune-up games.
Yeah.
You know what? There was never any reason to panic. They were always going to win. Anybody who thought, uh-oh, we're in trouble, was just not paying attention. We have the most talent. And at the end of the day, you give the ball to
Kevin Durant.
Kevin Durant.
You just put LeBron and Durant together.
Exactly.
That'd be a great player.
LeBrant.
Boy, is that a player.
Man.
Or you give the ball to Devin Booker and let him score. I mean, we're going to win that game comfortably, I think. I wonder what the spread is on that game. I'll look that up. All right, Linz, what's next?
Okay, so KFC is opening a fried chicken-themed pop-up hotel with a press for chicken button in every room. A one-night stay at this hotel is going to cost you about $150, and guests can get up to $140 of free chicken during their stay. The House of Harland Hotel is going to open up in London for 11 nights between August 18th and 29th, a reference to the 11 herbs and spices that go into its chicken. And Harland is a reference to Colonel Harland David Sanders, KFC's founder. Also, a black Cadillac, which KFC is going to be calling the Colonel Mobile, is going to pick up guests and take them to the pop-up hotel where their own chicken clerk will greet them.
Clever.
So we've been seeing a lot of these branded pop-up hotels. I know Taco Bell did one in...
Very successful.
Palm Springs, that's what it was, yep. So do you guys think that these branded pop-up hotels are cool, or are they just like a cheesy marketing move, and would you go to one?
Swipe left. I would not go to one. I do think it's a marketing move. I'm not sure how cheesy it is. Here we are talking about KFC. Yeah. On ESPN, so I think it probably worked. I think it probably was successful. I actually know somebody who went to the Taco Bell one, and they said it was super fun. They had a really good time there. So, yeah, I mean, if you're a KFC who is a KFC person? I mean, I get my chicken sandwiches from Popeyes. Love that chicken from Popeyes. That's where I get my chicken sandwiches. I think KFC got kind of scooped on chicken
sandwiches.
Yeah, they really
sandwiches. Did.
All of a sudden, everybody's got one, and everyone, I've never had the KFC one.
I've had the KFC one. It's fine. But
is it fine?
Yeah, but I think you're totally right. They got scooped because KFC should have been on it. Like, the second Popeyes came out with theirs, they needed to come out with their, you know, it took them like a year or two to, like, rebrand their chicken sandwich. Too late.
You know, I love when I am really, really hungry and I have a free night where I'm not paying attention to what I eat, which, let's face it, most nights I'm not paying attention to what I eat. Postmates and Popeyes are a perfect match.
Oh, yeah.
A perfect match. Man, sign me up for that chicken. All right, Lynch, you got one more? Is that it?
Have you ever tried Pollo Campero?
Oh, man.
I'm going to change your world now.
Okay.
Just try it next time you get that chicken sandwich or any kind of chicken. Like, you got to have it late at night. Get some Pollo Campero.
Yeah, try it.
Okay, I definitely will.
That's it for Radio Tinder, though.
That's it for Radio Tinder.
Jorge, back me up on that.
Oh, for real? No, you got to check it out.
Oh, man. That's like next level.
It is.
Well, wait a minute. Where do you get it?
They just started. Oh, it's a South American. Is it Central American?
Central, yeah.
Yeah, Central American staple. And there was a really good story in the LA Times about it. I don't know, like 6 months ago. People would literally bring it on the flight home. Like you go visit El Salvador, go visit Guatemala, and they bring like a bucket of the chicken home just because it's so synonymous when they're on the flights. And so Pollo Campero is very popular in Central America. So they just opened up a few branches in L.A. And I was like, oh, I'm in. Let me try it.
You're South
so
Central,
good.
You're downtown area. Yeah,
there's one in the valley. There's one right on Topeka Canyon. Yeah.
Okay. I'll give it a shot.
Yeah, it's really good.
By the way, Central America, very underrated part of the world. I've been to Nicaragua. I've been to El Salvador. I've been to Costa Rica. I'm actually going back to Costa Rica. In a couple of weeks when I've got a rare vacation for me.
Another one?
And I'm sure I'm filling in. I think they said yes to that.
Well, you know, in fairness, I think Ireland just took the summer off.
He kind of did, yeah.
it's the Mason Momo show for
Why don't
a lot
we
of
just
summer.
Plan on this every year during free agency? We really
Well, wait a minute, but at least Ireland, first of all, he can't work this week. Second of all, he does work, you know, basically a whole other full-time job.
Me too.
I'm not knocking it.
You do too, Ramona, yes.
Me
you
too.
Do, Ramona.
Me too.
I'm just saying,
so do I. I do too.
I work a whole
Culture Pop. Culture Pop.
The Culture Pop podcast. Oh, yeah. I'm doing four of those a week now.
Well, that's where you're the boss. Yeah. That's where you're the boss.
I am the boss. I'm management. All right, coming up next, I got a question about the Astros and what they did in 2017. And we'll tell you what happened last night. We were all there. If you missed this, we were all there. Me, Jorge, Laura from the afternoon show, SLK. She's the L in the SL and K.
Yeah.
A guy named Roger Puyak was there along with his sister. Roger actually won tickets to be with us for last night. We'll get into all that coming up next for you. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.